You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Maniatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Seven minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, welcome to the Clement Maniatella Show. I hope you're well this morning. It's Tuesday, the 2nd of August. Happy birthday month to all of us August babies, the most incredible human beings to ever live. Yeah, those are August babies. This is not open for debate, okay? But everything else is, so you can call me about anything else. Because the 702 open line is your time. So start dialing now. 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. You can send me your SMSs on 31702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
I've got a message here. Someone says, Clement, I'm one of those incredible human beings. 17th of August, sharing my birthday with my late dad. Ah, that's beautiful. Yeah, my birthday is next week. And yes, August babies are the most incredible human beings that have ever lived. Another person says, good morning, Clement. August baby statement. I'm rolling my eyes right now. Why? Because you are a January baby. Yeah? Guys, August babies are amazing. I'm telling you. Like, come on. The most incredible people. We are so compassionate. We are loving. Huh? We are everything you wish you were if you were not born in August. Here's a voice note.
Good morning, Clement. This is Craig from Joburg. The problem with this whole Tembisa, and I'm going to link it to the Nelson Mandela issue, is finance. If no payment, no money, no finance, how do they fix the problems in the townships? If the culture of non-payment is there, what are they going to do? They protest and then they refuse to pay. So how do they resolve that issue of non-payment? Craig from Johannesburg.
Yeah, and that's a problem in almost all the municipalities, right, Craig? In fact, I would like to hear from the residents in Tembisa this morning about what happened yesterday. Four people are now dead following that service delivery protest. One person was allegedly killed by police. IPED is investigating. The Soweto newspaper is reporting this morning that two people were killed when a gas cylinder exploded because they were trying to bash an ATM with it and it blew up. What are your service delivery concerns if you are in Tembisa? My understanding is that this was triggered by electricity tariffs. In fact, Khumutso Modise, who was covering the protest for Eyewitness News, was telling me this morning that the sense that she got is that people are really desperate. People are hungry. And the reality is there's a Tembisa everywhere. It's a reality for many people. And when many people are desperate, they find an outlet. And that's why it really frustrates me when politicians blame the third force when service delivery protests occur. I mean, the Ekurhuleni mayor was with Bongani this morning and says there are efforts, she thinks, to render Tembisa ungovernable. So she's suggesting that politics could be at play. And look, she may be right. But what really irritates me about politicians is how fast they are to blame the so-called third force. Always an easy way out. It's happened when we've had protests in Tshwane, it's happened when we've had protests in Johannesburg, it's happened when we've had protests in Cape Town and in many other metros where politicians find the easy way out, which is there's a plan to destabilize the metro. And the problem I have with that is that it also dismisses people's genuine concerns. It delegitimizes their concerns. Yes. There can even be criminal elements in any protest, but you also need a mature government that's responsible in how it engages residents, but also in how it characterizes their actions when those community members raise concerns. I want to bring in Xolani Mnisi now, who is the Tembisa community forum member and also a Tembisa resident who was taking part in the protest. Olani, thank you for availing yourself. Good morning.
Good morning, sir, and good morning to all the listeners.
What is at the core of this protest in Tembisa? What are you as residents complaining about?
My brother, I just heard the person that spoke right now from Joburg saying that people don't want to pay and stuff. And I stand to be corrected if I heard incorrectly. The core of the problem, Tembisans are not saying they don't want to pay. Tembisans have been paying all along. However, Tembisans are saying what we are being billed, it's wrong because we are being charged way higher than any other township here in Ekurhuleni. Mm-hmm. We are the only township in Ekurhuleni that is paying water, sewage, and refuse removal. We are the only township in Ekurhuleni that when you buy electricity of 100 rand, compared to other townships, our tariffs are lower in terms of kilowatts. We are the only township in Ekurhuleni when an elderly cannot pay for her services. In that month, that household will be blocked, their electricity will be cut, and they will be not able to pay, to purchase electricity until they pay that money. My brother, it is not a taboo to go to any CCC in Tembisa and find people who are having statements that are saying they should pay rates and taxes of 7,800 rand in a month. It's not a taboo. But when we engage officials, municipal officials, for them to explain why is it that tariffs are so high, they cannot explain it. So it's not a matter that Tembisans don't want to pay. Mm-hmm. Tembisans have been paying all along. But we feel that they're being prejudiced because of what we go through as Tembisa. Townships like Gatlehong, Daveyton, Thokoza, Duduza, and other townships are not billed that way.
Yeah,
they're the only township that is buying electricity directly through the municipalities. The rest of the townships, they're buying directly from Eskom, mm-hmm. and which is prejudice to us.
Okay, so you had a meeting with the mayor yesterday. What yes, commitments has she made to address those concerns? And what does that mean for the protest itself? Does it continue today?
We did have a meeting yesterday with the mayor. And the mayor, with the Grumeni, with other of the Grumeni MMCs, they made a commitment that come this week, they will be coming to Tembisa to interact and address the community of Tembisa. Remember, the protest yesterday was in a result that the mayor failed last week Friday to come and address the people after they said that she's coming. So this week, she's promised that on Friday she'll be in Tembisa in the McLaren Stadium at 9 o'clock to come and address the communities. Protests around here, they are still taking place in isolated places. In some parts of Tembisa, the protests have died down. Mm-hmm. And this was a shutdown that was led by the broader community. So we hope and we are still calling for calm to be restored, for people to go back to protesting peacefully, for everything to go back to normality. Mm-hmm. Because at least the Grumeni Metro has said that they'll be coming to Tembisa on Friday to interact yeah. with the community and address issues.
But then they were not protesting peacefully, Kolani. There were two tractors that were torched, their cars, TV screens, yes. fridges, computers that were torched. The municipal building was broken into and looted.
Yes.
You know, there's a municipal infrastructure that was burned. Journalists were intimidated and attacked. How is this advancing your cause as community members when you become so ungovernable and you start doing and being involved in these criminal elements?
You know, being in the ground is very much important because you get to understand the sequence of events. One of the things that led to so much burning of things and things getting out of hand and chaos was the killing of a young man in Makulung yesterday who was shot by a law enforcement officer while he was peacefully protesting. They were not attacked. It is post the killing of that young man, that the community was agitated and was frustrated and angered more. So,
and I hear that, Xolani, and even if you're angry, it still doesn't advance. It's not the answer. So even if the police are busy shooting people with live ammunition, right?
That's not what I'm saying. But I'm telling you what happened. I'm not saying that it is right.
Yeah.
But we are saying, in the heat of the moment, and I'm not justifying the burning of properties and everything, but I'm explaining to you that in the heat of the moment, due to that senseless killing of a young man, that's what led to people doing that. We are condemning it, and we did condemn the violence that took place yesterday, and we're still condemning it today. Those Tembisans are very peaceful people. And to say there's some part of looting, we cannot say those were just ordinary Tembisans. I would say that if such people loot and stuff, those are people that are taking advantage of the mobilization of the community, and they end up doing criminal elements.
All right, Xolani Mnisi, thank you. He is a member of the Tembisa Community Forum, also a Tembisa resident that's been taking part in this protest. Look, obviously, you know, tensions are going to get high, right? Especially when police, in this case, allegedly kill someone and they use live ammunition. IPED is still investigating, so we'll find out what really happened. But I can only imagine, yeah, people are going to get angry when this is what happened. But you must not respond by being involved in criminality. I mean, the way journalists were treated in Tembisa yesterday is quite despicable. Journalists had to abandon their cars. Because there's a News 24 journalist who was attacked. There are journalists who were robbed. Infrastructure is being torched. I mean, how is that advancing your cause? And unfortunately, in most cases, when communities feel so desperate and they want to get the attention of authorities, that's what they do. They do something that's going to get authorities to go, what just happened? We need to respond. Because also our government sometimes has this tendency of waiting for someone to die or waiting for infrastructure to be torched before they can respond. And that's not going to get us anywhere. Both communities and government need to know that there's a way to raise your concerns. And as a government, you mustn't wait until things get to the worst before you respond. Because when you do that, you're also setting a precedent, and that's what we've seen in many other metros, in many other communities, where people will protest for a week peacefully. Government is not interested. And then when they start looting shops or somebody gets killed, then that's when government wants to respond. And that should never be the approach. Xolani, in Four Ways, what do you want to say? Good morning.
Good morning, man. And next, I was born and raised in Tembisa. Clement, if you want to ask somebody about why they were protesting, and
Xolani.
Okay,
Xolani, I'm gonna give you time to sort out what you're doing, and then I'm gonna take that call again. Peter in Spraydview, good morning.
Hi, Clement. Quick one. I think we are all sorry about what happened in Tembisa. The life that has been lost unnecessarily. However, okay, I think you have touched on this matter. It's easy for the politicians to pass the buck about the so-called the third force. The lady, the mayor, was supposed to have been on the ground day number one. Look at the city of Johannesburg. I think Mpho Palatse, when she was called, look, I don't know how many times, but I think she had to face the music. When you meet the community, you have to agree to disagree. Okay? So the fact that she's confusing what is happening in the council in terms of the coalition and the opposition and some of the drama queen there, it's not what is on the ground. It's not. I mean, as this guy said now, yes, they are paying Tembisa. Yes, I mean, for argument's sake, just in closing, I bought prepaid electricity testing for Eskom Direct and the site in Malut Apofu. Manuti Apofu was even less with 10 units, 10 kilowatt hours at Clement. As an example. But be as it may, I think she was supposed to have been on the ground. She took her eyes off the ball. She was not advised correctly.
All right, Peter, in Spraydview, got you. I think there's a meeting with the community, was it on Friday? So let's see if she will show up for that meeting. I heard some of the coalition partners, the IFP, even Action SA, saying if she doesn't pitch for that meeting to meet with the residents on Friday, then they are going to be wanting, they're going to request that she explain why really she's not meeting with the resident. So I think there's a lot of pressure on her to show up. Let's see what happens. Your voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Clement, we all paying according to what he is saying. If we don't pay the municipal bill, we are unable to buy electricity. And we're paying for water, we're paying for sewer, we're paying for the bin as well. That's it in our statement. We are all paying. We are all paying the same. Tembisa is no different. We're paying the same.
Good morning, Clement. Clement, the leader of forum in Tembisa, I'm listening as you speak. That is untrue, Clement. I'm living in Boksburg in Bears Park. Clement, I'm experiencing the very same thing. It's not only the township, Tembisa Township, that is paying, that is getting those tariffs when they buy electricity. I'm also experiencing the same thing. That man is lying. It's a pure lie. What he's saying?
Hi, Clement. So I just searched to try and find bad people that were born in August to try and refute your statement. Instead, I find Whitney Houston, Kobe Bryant,
yes.
Michael Jackson,
yes.
Usain Bolt,
yes.
and Barack Obama
yes.
were also born in August.
Uh-huh.
So I guess you might be onto something there. This is TD.
TD, not might. I am onto something. I've got a message here. Someone says, hello, Clement. I agree with you. August babies are amazing. My daughter's birthday is on the 10th. What? That's my birthday on the 10th. Wow. Must call, we must sing for each other on the 10th. this message says, my daughter's birthday is on the 10th. She's a pillar of strength and a blessing to the family. Ah, yeah, kibito. Yeah, I must get your contact so me and your daughter can sing for each other.
Good morning, Clement. My name is Sebastian from El Dorado Park. Yes, Clement, you are so right to say August babies are amazing, and I will be celebrating my birthday on the 4th of August. I will be turning the big 50. So to all the August babies out there, have a fantastic month, and August Bossa Gimang. Thanks, Clement.
Bossa Gimang. Abel, you should have played us that song, eh? Yeah, we deserve it as August babies. I've got some of the messages that have been coming through from some of the August babies. CD, Madia says, I see no lies in your statement, Clement. Best month and best humans. Makuzayo says, Clement, did you almost say January baby? Did you almost call that January baby a January statement? Yeah, I almost did. Lisive says on Twitter, yes, lions are born in August, live and direct. Khadi on Twitter says, the most incredible babies to ever live are born in August. That's Khadi on Twitter. Yes, like I said, this is not open for debate. That's a statement. That's a fact. Yeah? Effect. All right, we're going to get the latest in our Witness News headlines now. When we come back, more of your calls, 011-883-0702, your WhatsApps as well, 072-702-1702. I see a lot of you who live in Tembisa are also sending voice notes, just explaining what happened yesterday. There's an issue around. So my understanding is that the Ekurhuleni Metro had decided to give about 100 units or so for free for indigent households, but they had to stop that because of what Treasury had to say. And I think the mayor explained this this morning with Bongani Bingwa. But I remember once having a conversation with someone at Eskom who said Eskom actually has that provision. If you're an indigent household, you can actually apply, right, for some free units. And if someone understands and remembers how that works, and maybe you work at Eskom or Sikonati, if you're listening to us, will you please just explain how it works? So was what Ekurhuleni was offering to the residents an addition to what Eskom is offering, or are those two linked and the same? I'd like to find out. It's just after 9:30.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
It's 25 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Shem, Banaba August, literally, really, just like your month. Dust as nullist off.
That's Bam Lillian Duve there. Hey, but about August, all these are tags. You should see what I'm being tagged on Twitter about about August babies. Okay, so I told you about the indigent households who qualify for some free electricity, right? So Sikonathi Mantshantsha, the Eskom spokesperson, has just sent us a message and says, and I'm going to quote this, the government, through the municipalities, provide the free basic electricity to indigent citizens. Indigent citizens are those who have a combined household income of 0 to 3,500 rand. Citizens must apply and register as indigent with their municipalities, which then give them a token to collect the free electricity from Eskom. The amount from municipality to municipality varies. On average, it's about 100 rand per month. People collect this monthly credit from Eskom where they would normally buy their units. So, looks like that's how it works. That's how Sikonathi is explaining it to us. But I'm also getting messages from some of you who are saying you've stopped receiving money. Elsa says, Clement, my elderly parents have to reapply for that concession for electricity in Ekurhuleni. For some reason, with the increase of electricity, that has taken away the concession. Sabelo says, in Kwatema, we also don't receive any electricity-free units anymore. I blame the councillors who don't hold community meetings, who don't attend them to give feedback on what decisions are taken by council. Only Tsakani, Spread View get power from Eskom. The rest of us, we get it from Ekurhuleni. So there seems to be some confusion around whether or not even the increase in the price of electricity is affecting that concession. Abel in Soweto, good morning.
Morning, Mr. Mayatela.
Hey, Tsada, Kishap, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Look, I just want to highlight something here. I think the biggest challenge which we're facing in the country, it is mostly because our leaders, we are just living in two worlds apart. In what form? If we can have, I'm sorry to be singling out and in examples, like if you can remember before the July unrest, we had someone like Ngizwe Mqulu going to places like hostels, influencing people calling himself the president of Amabinga and, you know, getting people to engage in such kind of violent acts until the looting happened. The one thing which I've noticed is this. The challenges which people are encountering on a daily basis, on the townships, it is normally because of our government is so out of touch of what people are going through on a daily basis, to a point that now we have these groupings where I can tell you that it is easy to go and influence people in the taxi industry for as long as those who are supposed to officiate in that area, they do not have any clue as of what exactly is going on in the taxi industry. So to a point that today, you know, we have people who are just taking advantage of people, like more especially the so-called my leader in the townships. They come to people and tell people to even go as far as to damaging the infrastructure. Like you know, reversing the gains of whatever we have tried to build as a society or in this democratic decision. Yeah. You find people going as far as to banning, you know, things which are not supposed to be banned.
Yeah.
Things which are supposed to help us.
Yeah, and how's that advancing your cause? Like, that's taking you many steps backward. And then in 2 years' time, you're going to be protesting that, oh, we don't have a library, or we don't have a police station, or we don't have a municipal building, because you touched it, right, a few years back. So, yeah, unfortunately, that's a reality that happens. But my thing is, Abel, we also, as government, you need to be mature enough to know how you engage with the residents when there are tensions that are high, when there are residents that are frustrated, because it takes a long for people to decide to protest. Like for people to decide, let's just bend these tires and go head to head with the police. I mean, who wants to do that? Who wakes up one morning and says, that's actually what I want to take part in today? So it takes a lot. So as government, you know, stop also being too political and wanting easy ways out. Yeah, there must be a third force. Now you're sounding like the former president, Jacob Zuma, and some of his comrades. I just think you need a mature government that understands and knows how they should be reacting to these frustrations by residents. And when you're on the ground, like Khomotso Modisa was telling me, the sense you get is people are just desperate, people are hungry. So there may have been miscommunication even around this free electricity that indigent households were getting. And maybe that wasn't communicated right. And you may think, ah, it's just 100 units. No, for someone who depends on that to have a warm meal, it's a big deal. So, yeah, I just think you need to be quite careful and cautious in how you respond as a government. Tulani, you're calling us from Four Ways. Hi.
Hi, Clement. I was saying, have you noticed that there seems to be a standard line or a standard book from which all protest leaders are reading from? If you ask them why has the protest turned violent, they'll tell you it is because it was hijacked by, yes, by criminal,
yeah, elements. I actually wanted to say that when I spoke to Kolani, that every single leader of the community I've ever interviewed and there was damage to infrastructure, they say exactly that it was hijacked.
It's a standard answer. It's a standard answer. But the point I want to make, Clement, is the following. First of all, I do not see why there is a need for people to burn buildings, to damage infrastructure, damage the very little there is for you to put your point across. It doesn't make sense at all. It simply does not make sense whatsoever. And my point is the following. I think as a country, we possibly at some point need to relook into the rights that have been afforded to citizens. There is a right to protest, which is for all well and fine, and people should do it and should do it responsibly, but they're not doing it responsibly. Instead, the very little that you have in those ships gets damaged and gets destroyed. And then at a later point, 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the line, they'll be protesting for a community center, which they have burnt down 3 weeks before.
Yeah.
It simply does not make sense. When there is a legitimate grievance, raise it and raise it properly. And people will be so quick to jump into an argument that says, well, the only language that the government understands is violence. Then it means your intention was basically to be violent so as to put your point across, which to me, honestly, just it escapes logic. It honestly doesn't make sense. I mean, I was born and raised in that township. I know the struggles of that township. I know what people are going through. And of course, this indigent reprieve that the government has given to people is something that applies everywhere. It's not only at Ekurhuleni.
Yeah, it's not.
It does it.
Yeah, in Soweto. Yes, yeah, absolutely. You're right, Tulane, and I agree with all the points you're raising. It doesn't make sense. And no matter how frustrated or angry you are, it doesn't make sense to go burn the very same building that services you, because down the line, you're going to be complaining about the same thing when you have destroyed it. Origin in Tembisa, good morning.
Hi, how are you, Clement?
I'm okay, how are you?
Yeah, this is Origin, man.
Sure.
Clement, I got a problem with the tariffs. I'll give you an example. In June, I received a statement that says I owe 5,377.78. And now in July, the statement came again. It says I owe 18,117.19. And then I need someone to explain, well, what does this, how did that this came about? Because it's so incredible that the tariff can jump. And in a household, there's no one literally who stays in there.
Yeah, and Origin, that's actually a problem across the board, hey? It's not just in Tembisa. It happens in Pretoria. This miscalculation of just how much electricity you need to pay, it happens in many areas in Johannesburg as well. I know the MMC of, was it economic development? Not economic development, MMC of, I don't remember the portfolio, but had actually started a whole big, program to resolve some of those miscalculations and sending people, how much they need to pay, amounts that are not even practical given their reality. Like, you'll have people who say, I've not been in my house for 3 weeks. I was traveling and yet my bill has come and it says this. So that's something that a lot of the metros are actually trying to resolve, because it's not just a situation in Tembisa. But yeah, quite concerning, Origin. Thanks for raising it. Andries in Mondio, good morning.
Morning, morning, Clement. How are you?
Sharp, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Clement, I've been listening to other people raising their points. But yes, I know that some of the protests are informed by genuine concerns. You know, when you listen to what other people are saying, it is of course it's very expensive to pay for some utility rates, and the protesters have, the residents have got a right to protest. But I think, Clement, we should not downplay the role of the Fed force. Remember, there are people who have been saying after they lost the metros, especially the ANC people, that will make these townships ungovernable. So yes, there are genuine concerns, but the threat force and the element of criminality should not be downplayed. Because really, when somebody said, I will, for an example, you've got an issue with somebody said, no, I'm coming next time. And then suddenly you've got some attacks on the road. What comes quickly to your mind is that the person who said is going to attack me is the one who has attacked me. It's going to be the accused number one. So therefore we cannot rule out the involvement of those who have been promising violence to say, and will make you ungovernable.
Yeah, and I hear that, Andries, and that's why I said the mayor may be right. But what I've also realized in my experience is that that's always a cop-out. It's always an easy way out for politicians. My thing is, establish first if, in fact, there are elements that are trying to destabilize the metro before you go out and say it, because then it comes across as though you're delegitimizing the genuine concerns of communities. Yes, criminal elements, that's proven, right? Because we see it. Like, there are journalists who were robbed, who were attacked. There's infrastructure that was looted. There are cars, tractors that were torched. So those are criminal elements. They've proven themselves. So we can say that with certainty. But as a mayor, don't be quick to go and label things as being influenced by the third force when you don't even have, at the very least, some evidence indicating to that. Yes, people have made statements. But the first, for me, is the first priority you must do is go listen to what the residents are saying and try resolve their issues. And when you do find evidence of the third force or people that are deliberately trying to destabilize your metro, let's get to it and address and update the citizens of your metro about those attempts. But don't just be like, that's the first thing you say a day after the protest started. Like, where did you get the evidence to that effect?
Yeah. That being understood, Clement. But I felt I should just raise this point to say we can't downplay this thing.
I agree.
Because remember, two weeks ago, there was a protest, similar protest, in Omgeni municipality, in the KZN, ruled by the DA. We saw people were protesting, and there were some videos that were shared where people clad in ANC t-shirt were distributing food. To the protesters to say, stay long, don't leave the streets, you are hungry, take, here's a food parcel, eat, continue protesting.
Yes, yeah. No, I hear the broader point you're raising, Andries, that we shouldn't downplay it, and I don't think we are. And hence I premised my statement by saying the mayor may actually be right, but also history and context now has taught me that that's actually what politicians do. And for me, establish first that there is this campaign going on where people are paid to destabilize the metro. Then come tell us about it. Don't be quick to say that on the second day of the protest. Like, what evidence do you have, right? And what you do is you're also creating distance and tension between you as someone who represents authority in that metro and the residents who've got these genuine concerns, because you've now branded them as part of this third force. that's trying to mess up your metro and turn things around. Kaya on the WhatsApp line says, "Hi, Clement. As a member of the forum in Tembisa, I present proof that we even had people protecting our infrastructure and the police did nothing to guard against the third force." That's what Kaya is saying. Another message says, "Hello, Clement. I don't understand why people blame the behavior of striking people but fail to blame the behavior of the stubborn minister and public officers who ignore people's concerns for times and times." And look, we shouldn't even suggest that when you are ignored time and time again, and what you should do then is just go and torch a building because that's going to get the attention of government. What I'm saying is, government, do things differently. Stop waiting for something tragic to happen. Right? Because, yeah, that's a thing. Unfortunately, for many community members, the only way to get government's attention is for someone to die. It's for a building to be torched. Remember what happened in Alex when someone died? And then what happened the next day? Home Affairs was there with their officials. The police were patrolling Alexander. And they were checking if people have the relevant documents to even be in the country. Why does it have to take one person dying before you as government can go into communities where you know there are illegal foreigners and arrest them? Why does it have to take someone to die? And unfortunately, that's how government has been responding lately. And it needs to do things differently because nobody benefits when there's violence. Nobody benefits when there's a destruction of infrastructure. Nokutula in Pretoria. Hi.
Hi, Clement.
Hey.
Clement, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I think the problem is that the government only reacts to violence. If the government was to react to concerns that people raise in the legitimate manner, then people would not have to resort to violence. I don't condone violence. I think it's wrong. But I also think that the government needs to step up and start actually responding to people who are doing things the right way and stop responding to violence. Because once you reward violence and people see, listen, if I'm speaking to Nokutula, if I shout at her, that's the only way the message gets across. Then people are going to have no choice but to continue shouting. So the government really needs to change its standpoint.
Oh, I like what you say, Nokutula. When you say they reward violence, because actually that's what they do. Once you become violent, once there's someone who dies, and then they respond to even your concerns. They hold these community forums. I mean, in Tembisa, there were community forums with the National Commissioner of Police, with the Minister of Police, with Home Affairs Minister. They got a community hall there. Why did it have to take someone dying? Like, you can't be a reactive government. And unfortunately, that's exactly what our government has been. Great contribution there, Nokutula. Thanks for calling. Wayne in Randburg, what do you want to say? Hi.
Hi there, Clement. I believe that most South Africans are generally good people. And I feel that through unemployment, they are on the bones of their bums at the moment. They really cannot afford to pay bills. And I think if people were employed, there was income in these houses, people are not trying to dodge, duck and dive. They will pay their bills. If they had a salary, if they had an income, they will pay their bills. I generally think that South African people are good people. I think the root cause of this is purely people are struggling to survive. And by taking away small amounts of electricity, however small it may be, whatever the process may be, to try and assist these people, we are shooting ourselves in the foot. We need to come down to grassroots level. Give a man a job. He is not going to run away and not pay his bills. He will be proud to pay his bills. And I think that South Africa at the moment, we are a nation of people that are failing to be proud of what we have and of what we've got. And these people are suffering. They're suffering because they do not have jobs.
Yeah, no, that's true, Wayne. I couldn't have said it better. That's true. That's the result of poverty. That's the result of unemployment. Another message on the WhatsApp line says, "Morning, Clement. It's a very big issue, that one of free electricity units. How can they stop it without checking each household? I stay in Ekuruleni. I no longer get those free units from the 1st of July. They simply assumed that I earn a lot of money. So my understanding, I don't know if this was communicated, right? I don't know if it was communicated to the residents that as the Metro of Ekurhuleni, they've had to stop it or at least reduce it because there were issues with Treasury. And just check out the podcast, the conversation that the mayor had with Bongani. But still, even when you've got those changes, just explain, like make sure that you engage in a serious public awareness campaign where you explain to the residents that this is what is going to happen going forward, right? Because it may just be 100 units for you and you think, it's not a big deal even when we stop this. People are desperate out there. So for them, that's literally the difference between a cold and a warm meal. Another message here, Clement, it's so unfortunate what happened in Tembisa, and I understand the concerns. I'm really concerned about the schools that are affected. Grade 12s are writing their finals in 10 weeks' time. Finals for life orientation in 6 weeks' time in September. We need to do revision, and I'm really frustrated. I'm hoping that things are going to stabilize very soon. More voice notes.
Hi, Clement. Good morning. Your statements that these things are not just, they just don't wake up one morning and say, let's have growth. It seems like that's exactly what they do, because these things are planned the day before with a group of thugs, and that's what happens. Protests just rock up. They decide one morning, we don't have this, let's protest. We don't have that, let's protest. So these guys, they really need to be tensioned up, and it seems to be only a handful, and then which is later joined by the rest of the unemployed.
Lesego in Bryanston, hi.
Hi, Clement. Just wanted to touch on something you said. You know, it feels as if this is a stage of protests in South Africa have always been violent. Why? Because Nokutela said it, government reacts to violence and rewards violence. However, when you listen to the government, I mean, we've seen libraries being torched and things like that, and there's never justification for that because also thugs take advantage of this. But it feels as if you're listening to an ANC MEC or an ANC minister when the PA says, comes into power. You come into power because you want to fix issues. Do not pass the buck. All they're doing right now is passing the buck.
Yeah, take responsibility.
Taking any responsibility of it.
Yes.
Which is, you wanted to be in power. Mm. Unfortunately, being in power comes with certain things. And it tells me one other thing. What has happened to civic and government collaboration? Mm. What has happened to institutions like intelligence, where they should be able to root out these criminals within the community? You cannot run by the fact that you want to portray yourself as a holy angel as a government and blame somebody else all the time.
Yeah, you must just take responsibility. Lesego and Bryanston got you. A great contribution there.